of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent. I am your host once again. It's Sunday. Today is May 10th. Got a couple days off. Who cares? It's May 10th, 2015. My name is Mark Kent again, and I am your host today, as usual, on Sunday. It's Sovereign Mind Radio. We are streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. Again, that is 530-605-4567. All shows are podcast and archived as well. You can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview. Destiny Fellowship stands for Limited Government, Fiscal Responsibility, Adherence to the Constitution. You have just been listening to Jefferson State of Mind with Red Smith. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that whole program again. I got the at the bottom of the hour for about 15 minutes, and it sounded like he was kind of on fire a little bit with stuff. So,
oh, he was, and he had some outstanding audio clips this morning at the start of the show. Apparently you missed that, but one from President Reagan and President Kennedy.
I got a little bit of one at the bottom of the hour, but I'm going to go back and listen to the rest of it just to hear what he had to say, because what I did hear was really good stuff. So do we have any veterans events or announcements?
Well, we do. This next Saturday, May 16th, we have Armed Forest Day here in Reading. They will also be doing it up in Yreka, but here in Reading, from 1 to 4, we will be serving a full dinner at the Veterans Hall. That's at 1605 Yuba Street, and that's free. So come down and see us. May 25th at 11 a.m. at Anderson Cemetery, there will be services. We have Memorial Day coming up. And Commander Gibson will be speaking at that one. May 25th, also out at the cemetery at IGO at 6:55. We will be having ceremonies out there for Memorial Day. On May 30th, there will be ceremonies at the Reading Veterans Grove. That's the one that's down there by the Civic Center. And then don't forget, we got Camp for Life coming up, that Missing in America project and Walmart Truckers that we do every year for the terminally ill children out at Whiskey Town, and that's from June 28th to July 4th. And also Missing in America Project is putting together what we're calling Sea to Shining Sea. We will be taking remains of five individuals, maybe six, back to Arlington Cemetery. And so we're looking for sponsors for that. So
sounds like you guys are pretty busy.
Yep. So we got a lot of good stuff going on. If you want more information, you can always come to the tea party and talk to me or call me at 221-0101.
That would be my sister, Linda Kent, in case anybody was wondering. I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda, and
good
Bob
morning.
Martin. You're an all-around great guy and producer and soundboard operator. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank
happy
you.
Mother's
happy Mother's Day,
yeah,
out there to everybody.
Happy Mother's Day. Absolutely. Yeah, we also have a rally tomorrow for water users at the dam. That'd be Monday, May 11th at 10:30. Go out there and, you know, unbelievable. We'll save the fish but kill the people. You know, it's like, really? I mean, you know, what's going to happen if all the people are dead and then the fish are thriving? It's like, yeah, that'll work. That'll be
yeah,
good.
Sure
that'll
will.
Be good for everybody.
Yeah. Why not?
You know, everybody wants to save and have a clean planet. But, you know, at what point in time do you put people ahead of, you know, what is it, 29 fish or something, whatever.
I think so, something along that line.
Anyway, come out, show your support for your neighbors. Bring your flag, your U.S. flag, and your Jefferson flag. And then we'll go from there. Tomorrow, we also have Dan Panda.
Dan Johnson.
Dan Johnson.
Sorry. It's Dan Johnson with Panda, but yeah.
He's not with Panda anymore. I always call him Dan Panda because that sticks in my brain. But it's Dan Johnson, and he's going to come out and show us how to be politically savvy and use, you know, how to use the system to get things done as opposed to this going and begging your representatives to, you know, listen to you. And that doesn't work too well, as we've
seen. We're going to be having handouts and give you the tools so that you can do it yourself, learn how to do it, and go out and be effective at your local level and start changing some of these problems we got going on,
As opposed to, please, Mr. Congressman, would you listen to me? Nah, that doesn't work too good. Anyway, let's go to our first clip here with Greg Hunter from USA Watchdog, and then that'll give us some talking points.
Hi, I'm Greg Hunter. This is the WNW 189, the weekly news wrap-up.
I think we got two things playing there, Bob.
And I'm starting with the ridiculous drumbeat from the mainstream media about the so-called recovery that they keep cramming down our throats, and they've done so since about 2009 when it bottomed out. USA Watchdog's been on since about 2009, and I, too, am going to keep repeating the fact that there is no recovery, at least not for Main Street, you know, where you and I live. There was a recovery in the bond market. There was a recovery in the stock market. There was recovery for fat cats and bankers, but not for you and me. They've just been bottom bouncing for you and me. And in order for the mainstream media to keep telling us this false narrative of the recovery is just outrageous and really a lie by omission. I mean, I just recent data points. Forget about the labor participation rates at 93 million. Yeah, some of that's baby boomers retiring. But, yeah, that's not a booming economy. 93 record number of people who are no longer in the workforce. Record numbers of people who are either on food stamps or on disability. Record numbers. But some recent data points. Wholesale sales. Retail sales. Factory orders. Boom, boom, and boom. Down. Plunging. This is just recent. And then we hear that 47 different companies are going to close down, combined, 6,000 stores. Now, I'm sure some of that is internet sales, but not all of it. Come on. That's not growth. What do you think happens to an economy when you start closing stores and the ripple effect? You know, a store might have 50, 100 employees, 200 employees, boom, unemployed, instead of, you know, going out to lunch and making a car payment and maybe possibly buying a house or doing whatever, instead of doing anything like that, they're on unemployment. They're trying to get food stamps. 62% of Americans at the moment are living paycheck to paycheck. Yeah, they can take a hit. Economy's great. This is what 0% interest rates and, you know, when, you know, the bankers are bailing out their crony buddies with low interest rates because, oh, we're trying to fix the economy, when they're really all they're doing is saving their own hide and their own investments. And they're bellying up to the bar. You know, people like Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger who would have been destroyed if not for a government bailout. Keep that in mind about the crony capitalism and the malinvestment and the fixes that aren't fixes that only went to cronies of political leaders and business leaders. Just keep that in mind. I'm gonna bring that up in a minute. And if you think I am being too negative, well, what about the Fed chief here that came out and warned of bloated stocks? Now, really, the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal, really the Wall Street Journal soft-pedaled what she said. I mean, they put in what she said, but the headline isn't really the right headline, in my opinion. I think they soft-pedaled it. Why? Well, she talked about bloated stocks, but, you know, she also talked about, she said that the stocks, sounded the alarm on stocks, said it was quite high, but also warned of potential danger, end quote, potential danger in the bond market. The bond market is orders of magnitude bigger than stocks, but, oh, bloated, like they're a little fat, bloated, just a little bloated, let a little air out. the stock, the bond market, potential danger in the stock market. Why would she say that? I mean, oops, a little truth bubbled out of Janet Yellen. Of course, the stock market sold off the day she said that. And, you know, why would she say something like that, that warned a potential danger in the bond market? Because she thinks good times are coming? I mean, in order for the mainstream media to misreport this and to gloss over and lie by omission, omit major facts that are easily found, is reckless and, I think, dishonest. And yet, we get, and you're going to love this, folks. You're going to love this. I loved it. You get this headline from USA Today on the business. Fear not, folks. Fear not. They're using my biblical term. Fear not. Fear not. Oh, everything's fine. This May, October looks better than others. I'm going to keep this newspaper. And when this thing crashes this fall, I'm going to hold this thing back up. I swear I am. Fear not, biblical term. Don't worry. Nothing to worry about. And look what's on the same page. I'm just going to flip it over. I kid you not. This is Trish Regan. She said, lack of demand, spoiling economy. What? Do these people not talk to each other? Hey, I'm going to do a really negative story. Lack of demand, spoiling economy. And, hey, fear not. Hey, this May, October looks great. I mean, you think it's just me coming out saying that there's just negative news and that things aren't looking so good? Well, have you noticed gas prices going back up? Yeah. What do you think that's a function of? How about a falling dollar? Yeah, here is the Wall Street Journal. Dollar falls on signs of weak second quarter. Oh, well, hey, let's bring up the first quarter. It was supposed to be a percent. That was the estimate. Now it's 0.2%. That is, according to John Williams of ShadowStats.com, is going to be revised down. But if you just have their phony inflation, you got a negative first quarter. Just have the Fed's phony inflation numbers. You got a negative first quarter, and they're worried about, you know, a weak second quarter. Oh, really? Well, John Williams is going to come on, and he's going to talk about what this means. He came out last year and said that, or he's been saying for years that we'd have the beginnings of hyperinflation in 2014. He admits he missed that. He said, you know, they manipulated a lot of stuff. They pulled a lot of shenanigans, but you know what? The shenanigans are over. Because, you know, they kept saying, oh, we're going to raise interest rates. Oh, it might be in June. No. You're going to raise interest rates in June? Signs of weak second quarter? They're going to kill the economy on purpose? No, no. Oh, maybe they'll raise interest rates this fall. No, no, no. They're done. That's not happening. So what happens when everybody realizes, oh, you mean they're not going to raise, you mean they're just lying about raising? No. Could they sell the dollar? Could that take a hit? Could we have some inflation? John Williams comes on and lays it out straight for us on Sunday. Don't miss it. I'm not just, you know, doing that. Not a real long interview, but he lays it out. And his scenario is quite frightening. Keep in mind this scenario of crashing dollar, of danger in the bond market. And this is all signs of bad management, malinvestment, crony capitalism, and it trickles down to places like Baltimore. I want to talk about that in just a minute. Just keep that in mind. Then you have all these wars in the Middle East and North Africa and Eastern Europe, and they're boiling. They're just not boiling over, but they're boiling. I want to talk about Yemen, Syria, Libya, and Iraq and Ukraine. And let's just start with Yemen. Yemen still going knockdown, drag out, a fight of a couple of terror groups, Al-Qaeda, also the Houthi rebels, which are, you know, partial to Iran, which Saudi Arabia is freaking out over because, and we, you should too, because that's where the petrodollar is. If Saudi Arabia falls, boom, inflation, poof, dollar, petrodollar, gone. They are fighting tooth and nail over there. Boiling. Syria. What, 400,000 dead, millions wounded or displaced, still going on, not resolved, boiling. Libya, a lovely foreign policy guidance by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who says she doesn't have anything that she can hang her hat on as an accomplishment. She completely destabilized and destroyed Libya. I mean, Gaddafi wasn't a good guy, but, you know, she was actually caught on camera laughing about how, you know, one minute he's walking down the street in custody, and the next second or two, he's dead with a gunshot wound in the back of the head. Shot in the back of the head. She's giggling about it. That's a war crime. We destabilize Libya to the point it's a lawless, terrorized, terrorist fighting terrorists over there. People are fleeing the country on inner tubes, boats, and whatever will float to try to get across the Mediterranean. They're willing to die to get out of Libya and go anywhere where there's not fighting and killing. That is Libya. Hundreds have died so far, maybe thousands in the Mediterranean Sea. And, of course, Southern Europe is in great shape to take thousands of refugees and feed them and house them and clothe them. Right. Fantastic. Thank you, Hillary, for your foreign policy stewardship in Libya. I hope that comes up in your campaign. Moving on, Iraq, Al-Qaeda also under her, ISIS also under her stewardship as Secretary of State was allowed to grow. We were arming these so-called rebels covertly and overtly. We now overtly arming the rebels. The money in part went to Al-Qaeda, which is an offshoot. ISIS is an offshoot of that, Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Some people say just say Daesh because they don't want to say Islamic State because it is Islamic. The Islamic State, according to the president, is not Islamic. That, according to them, it's Islamic. And these brutal people are running around killing people and funded in part by Saudi Arabia, U.S., and other people, funded in part, backfired. This is what Putin was talking about how, you know, when you get people, terrorists, to do your bidding, it can backfire. Well, they decided, well, let's not go into, let's take eastern Syria and western Iraq. Let's blow in there. They did. And now they're threatening to take over another oil refinery in Iraq, boiling. Just not boiled over. And then there's Ukraine, which scares me the most because, you know, this is just a proxy war between NATO, the U.S., the West, and Russia, all nuclear armed. U.S., Russia, nuclear armed. Lots of tensions going on over there. Lots of nothing has been settled. And, you know, this any one of these places can boil over into a regional, if not a world, conflict. And then you have the two Iranian generals who say, you're not going to dismantle our nuclear program. And these two generals say that the country welcomes war with the U.S. Does that sound like we have a deal? I've been projecting there will be no deal. Listen, I don't call the shots. I'm not part of the people who make the decisions, but just based on what I see, no deal. There's not going to be a deal. Not when you have the leadership in Iran calling the leadership in the U.S. liars, including the president. And then you have these generals saying, we welcome war with the U.S. Which, listen, war with Iran would be an unmitigated disaster. They teamed up with Russia earlier this year in some military deal. They're going to get these high-tech anti-aircraft missiles, this missile shield, basically, that's pretty sophisticated. And I don't see how there's a nuclear deal. And then what happens? Oh, there's no nuclear deal. Oh, we're just going to go. That's it? That's it? It is not looking very good. I have to hand it to the Iranians. They've been very consistent about saying they're not going to curtail their program. Very consistent. I don't see how that ends well. And listen, again, I am just projecting what I see. I don't wish for war. I think it would be a disaster. California is in big trouble on the waterfront, and they're trying to combat this massive lack of water. Where NASA has come out and said, you know, California, with a population of 38 million, might I remind you, has only about a year's left of water left. That was a little more than a month ago. And here's the headline that, you know, it's just people just don't think this is a big deal. Thirsty California falls short in cutting their water use. And I think, I mean, you got a year's worth of water left and you're going to try to conserve your way out of this mess and just hope it rains? Agriculture of people in California, the growers, use about 80% of the water. No restrictions on them. Okay, I understand that, I think. But the rest of the water, the 20%, 80% of the water used by agriculture, 20% of the water used by everybody else. Well, they were trying to get a 20% reduction. They got less than a 4% reduction. Now, Jerry Brown, the governor, is going to double down and try to get a 25% reduction from the people who use 20% of the water. Are you getting the math on that? 80% of the water hands off, 20% of the water, a 25% reduction. That is a drop in the bucket. That's your plan? I mean, there's no pipelines being planned, no desalination plants being planned, lining up trucking to bring in water, wells being drilled. I don't know how to fix that, but I don't hear any of these other things being done in California. I hear that they want like to have a new stadium in Los Angeles. I think they'd like to have that. New football stadium. Or they're doing some mass transit for billions of dollars. I hear about that. Of course, you know, here's a big story that they're all talking about. Oh, Brady, and there's only 3 pounds less than that foot. There was a couple of pounds. What? Let me tell you something. If you live in Oklahoma or Missouri or Florida or New York or California runs out of water, you're talking about a massive calamity, chaos, for sure financial failure. It's going to affect everybody. It's going to affect everybody on the planet. They're a huge food-growing region, and I don't see any intensity by the governor, Jerry Brown, who's a Democrat, who ought to be calling up the Obama administration saying, well, hey, I'm worried. How long have I been reporting about the dangers of this water problem out west? California's the worst, but several other states have plenty of water problems. I mean, Lake Mead is in serious drought trouble. People just seem to be like, I guess I hope it'll rain. I don't see a plan B, which is almost as scary as there being a massive drought out west. And remember I talked to you about all the malfeasance, the crony capitalism? Well, this is the economy you get. We didn't get bankruptcy. Bankruptcy meant that the money people would have taken a hit. You know, General Electric, hey, your stock's $1 a share. Instead, they're bailed out. Bank of America, they should have been taken into receivership. That's what William Black, professor of economics, professor of law, expert in white-collar crime, he says they should have been taken into bankruptcy. We bailed them out. We went after a debt problem with debt. We had crony capitalism, not capitalism, because if you believe in capitalism, you believe in bankruptcy. We got phony accounting. I'm getting to it. Hold on. I want you to set this up. We had banks laundering money for drug cartels, laundering money for terrorists, for rigging the LIBOR rate, tens of trillions of dollars. Not a single banker went to jail. Fines. Rigging the gold market, rigging the stock market, foreclosure fraud. They called it robo-signing, where it was forgery and perjury and fraud on the state. Nobody, no big banker, went to jail. J.P. Morgan helped Bernie Madoff, the biggest fraudster of all time, with his fraud. They paid about $2.6 billion in fines and restitutions to avoid criminal prosecution. Nobody went to jail. We have a crony, imploding, disaster economy. And as I started this out, there is no recovery. Look no further than Ferguson. Look no further than Baltimore. Now, instead of laying the blame where it belongs, on the feet of the bankers and the Federal Reserve, who totally screwed up this economy, and our politicians, not a single Republican running for president says, we got to rein in these bankers. Oh, no. No, at one point, by 2012, we were giving them $500 billion a year. Not a word on any of the House Finance Committees, the Senate Finance Committees. Not a word. These are criminals. That William Black, the professor of law and economics, the expert in white-collar crime, says we got felons running these financial institutions. So we got a dismal, cratered disaster, 0%, steal from everybody, no law, no criminal prosecutions. The FBI hasn't made a single prosecution. But now we have 6 police officers charged in this Freddie Gray case. Oh, we're going to villainize the police officers. So we've totally screwed up the economy. It's going to implode. And it's the police that are the problem. Are some police bad? Yep. Yep, sure are. Are they militarizing police? Yep, they sure are. Do you understand what will happen when this implodes and your ATM machine won't work and your bank accounts are shut down and your stock market accounts are shut down and hypothecated? Oh, we pledged that. Oh, we pledged your stocks against the losses and the derivative market. Do you understand? Baltimore lost 200 businesses. Boom, just like that. Do you understand what happens to the tax base when you lose 200 businesses? Hundreds, probably thousands of employees. No property taxes being paid. Bankruptcies, houses going under. People collecting unemployment and not collecting a paycheck. 200 businesses went under, and now instead of blaming it on the politicians and the bankers and the people in charge, we're going to blame this on the police. Unfair. You're going to find out some ugly things about this Freddie Gray thing, that he already had a serious pre-existing back condition. But we're going to villainize the police and ask them to get out there and jackboot some order when everybody, when everything goes into total chaos and the Fed can't fix it? What's the Fed going to say? Oops, our bad. Ooh, I warned you. I said there was danger in the bond market. You know what the interest rate derivative exposure is? Hundreds of trillions of dollars. And they're going to villainize the police. And the people that should be villainized, and this should have been reined in, and people should have gone to jail, and they should have had some bankruptcies, and we would have been coming out of this. The politicians and the bankers and the money people are to blame for this. Not the cops who we're going to have to use, as Catherine Austin Fitz says, I'm worried about the increasing and increasing force to hold this together. Yeah, that's right. We could have handled this and had some bankruptcies and had some prosecutions a while ago and not let this get crazyville out of control. But now it's out of control. That's the way I see it. I'm Greg Hunter. Thank you for supporting USA Watchdog with your comments. Got smart people on this site. And your donations. That helps us. My favorite part, fear not. Prepare yourself physically, mentally, and above all, spiritually. Fear not.
Well,
if you got a business, that, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
What difference at this point does it make?
There you go, Bob interjecting there. That's wide. Let's go to a break. We'll come back. I think that gives us a lot to talk about. You know, there's Greg Hunter, USA Watchdog, and I'll tell you what, I think he's right on the beam. And, I think mainstream media just didn't report all that, right?
Yeah, something like that. With that, we'll go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is Community Radio for the North State.
I'll go find a network won't treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity. For he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I have seen a big increase in the ethanol-free 93, so everyone's starting to do yard work. So come on in and fill up your jugs. We got another load of barbecue bottles in, so come in and grab an extra one. We just got a fresh load of race car fuel and methanol for all the off-highway tractor guys, red diesel, hydraulic oil, grease in barrels and tubes. We do sell bulk oil. If you need a quart or 55 gallons, we got you covered. If you need an extra storage tank, give us a call. We have a few used ones and comm vaults. Northern Lights Energy, where you can still talk to real people and not answering machines. Farm, ranch, logging, and construction. We cover them all. Corning, Weaverville, Redding. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Using junk science that wouldn't even meet the standards of a high school science fair, California Air Resources Board and the Environmental Protection Agency have written regulations that are devastating the California economy. They are costing people their jobs, their homes, their livelihoods, and their families. This must be stopped. Help us continue the fight against CARB. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com now and contribute to keep the fight going.
Howdy, folks. Nate Abarea here. Join me every Sunday at 2 p.m. for Destination North State. Each hour-long show will be direct from special spots in the heart of Northern California, featuring the people and the places that make this region so unique. You'll hear the beautiful and the gritty sides of the North State that we call our own. Made possible by Muse Concrete, Palomar Builders, and Yaks on the Five in Dunsmuir. It's Destination North State every Sunday at 2 p.m. right here on KCNR 1460.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
You know I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling? Let's make a plan. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your man?
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio. You know, the question is, who's your daddy?
I guess it's a question for some people, not all of us. I'm just saying.
Well, I think a lot of people think the government's their daddy out there, and that's kind of why we're in the mess we're in. So, anyway, we've got a lot to talk about. I mean, Greg Hunter's spot on with pretty much most of that, I think. I don't agree with absolutely everything he says, but
he hit a lot of different things.
Yeah, I think there's some problems out there, and I think that we have been getting blindsided, blacked out by the mainstream media, who doesn't seem to want to report anything. You know, I mean, anything that doesn't go into the narrative, you know, oh, gee, of getting Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton elected. You know, I mean, how much more treason does this woman have to commit before somebody starts actually prosecuting her? You know, how much more treason does Obama have to commit before somebody actually starts doing something about impeaching him? You know, that's what we're talking about here. You know, and the mainstream media has just blacked out any stories that, you know, have anything to do with that kind of stuff because, wow, I mean, gee, the guys that are funding these people, the big bankers, couldn't have been buying up news organizations or media or anything like that.
Or buying both sides of the aisle. You know, people have to realize they pay for both Democrat and Republicans.
Yeah, and in the meantime, yeah, we're all out here in recovery. Life is grand. It's all good. You know, don't worry about it. And, you know, I mean, it'll be fine. Just, you know, keep on keeping on, and, you know, it'll all straighten itself out, and you don't have to get involved. Just keep doing what you do. And
yeah, don't let the gas prices and stuff fool you. I noticed they jumped, like, you know, 30 cents in the last week.
Well, you know, my theory is this, is that the pain's coming. And guess what? People aren't going to react until the pain hits them directly, personally, so hard that there is no way that you can deny it. And then maybe we'll get some people to step up to the plate one way or the other. You know, the sheeple out there that don't want to get involved in anything. Oh, you know, what's my neighbor going to think if I join a tea party? He might think I'm a racist.
Well, let me know how that works when you don't have any water, you don't have any property, you don't have,
any
food.
Yeah. You know, you're living on your knees under jackbooted thuggery, you know, because the government has to tell you when to get up, when to go to sleep, what to eat, how to eat, how much water you can have, how many showers you can take. Oh, that could never happen here in America.
Really?
Look around.
It's already starting.
Look around.
Yeah.
Pull your head out of whatever bag you got it in. okay? I don't know what your baseball bag or your dope bag, but you better get your act together here and start looking at reality.
Yep.
So with that, we have a report here. This comes from Yahoo Finance. And the internet is running really slow today. I'm just dragging here. But so if I have to hesitate a couple of times, it's because I'm trying to get the stories to pop up. It seems that the IRS, you know, there's a report here that over, oh, I don't know, 1,580 IRS workers evaded taxes over a 10-year period. And
they just get a pass?
Yeah, pretty much. In fact, I think they all got raises.
And, oh, that's usually the way it works in government. We know that, you know.
Yeah, it's good stuff here. You know, the report is by the agency's inspector general said that most were not fired, even though it's required by law that if they evade taxes that they be fired, you know. So the penalty is waived, you know, must be – and it has to be waived by the IRS commissioner, who is, of course, operating in our best interest. Again, who's your daddy? You know, and none of this.
Yeah, but if we did that, we would. You go to jail for tax fraud.
Willful failure to file, willful failure to defeat or evade the tax is actually a criminal charge. Not only should you be fired, you should be put in prison, and especially when you're the ones that are administering the tax law. Okay, it's not just the common guy out there. These guys are supposed to be the watchdog of law, the watchdog of the rule of law, not the purveyors of the mafia style collection agency that works on behalf of the bankers and big government. Oh, I was that a little too strong? Oh, sorry, I ranted again.
Well, they should start with that commissioner and work their way down and just fire the whole bunch in the IRS. I guess the
truth doesn't really matter anymore.
Well, the administration is showing that it doesn't because they just keep getting away with it. Look like Hillary. Hillary just keeps going and going. I mean, you know.
You know, among their offices or offenses, you know, improperly claiming dependents, repeated failure to file timely tax returns, claiming a tax credit for first-time home buyers when the workers didn't buy a house. Some received promotions, raises, and bonuses after they were willfully caught not paying their taxes, the report said. Now, this is coming from their own Treasury Inspector General. Okay, this is not some rogue agency. This is not
one person
biased news reporting like Sovereign Mind said it. No, this is coming from their own internal investigation, saying that this is exactly what happened, and I'm reading the story here. Given its critical role in the Federal Tax Administration, the IRS must ensure that its employees comply with tax law in order to maintain public confidence. Do you still have a bunch of public confidence out there yet? Is that still working for you? When you got the criminals running the show, you got the bankers and the mafia running the government at this point. I don't say this lightly. It's the truth.
It's insane. We know firsthand that how the IRS can come in and change people's life on our level, you know, that aren't breaking the law. You know, they keep coming in and questioning no matter what you submit to them. And they say, oh, no, that's not good enough, you know. And here they're the biggest liars and cheaters there is.
The agency said, you know, the IRS said that more than 99% of its employees pay their taxes on time, the highest compliance rate of any major federal agency. Well, what does that tell you about the rest of the federal agencies? Historically, about 8% of the general public owes back taxes. Well, there's nothing wrong with owing back taxes. That's not a crime. But when you willfully, create false statements, say that you're entitled to a credit when you're not, and you're working at the agency, oh, then you get a raise? Oh, wow, that's really going to teach those guys down there at the IRS. Oh, you can attack your political enemies with no repercussions. You get a bonus and you get retirement pay. You can, evade taxes, commit crimes, and you don't even get fired. Wow. So how's your public confidence going now? So with all that, coming down the pipe, all these other things economically, these guys are going to be on our side when they start collecting taxes in an economic, collapse that's coming. That's going to be good too. So, and then you've got the usual suspects.
Yeah, they're going to come out and enforce the tax law.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll do it fairly.
Sure,
I guarantee.
Will.
Yeah, it'll be
early for who?
I was going to queue up I'll have to maybe get Bob to queue that up. You know, Red gave me a little clip, you know, of the old Monty Python, you know, where they're the plague is coming.
Bring out your dad.
Bring out your dad, you know, and they're wailing the little cart along and they bring out your dad, you know, and then one guy's got his little guy over his shoulder and he says, but I'm not dead yet. Yes, you are. You just don't know it.
You don't know it yet.
But I'm feeling better now, sir. Well, that's that's kind of what we're talking about. Do we need to go to a break, Bob? Or?
Yes, we've got Terry on the line first, though.
Okay, let's talk to Terry. We got a bunch of stuff to cover and plenty of time today. So with no guest, we've got Terry as our guest. How's it going this morning, Terry? How you doing?
Well, Mark, I want to let people know. I mean, they don't really know much about you and Linda and your family and just how much you've helped people. I mean, whether it be through your business, whether it be the generousness that you guys always have. I know I probably shouldn't be saying this. I'm going to ruin your image. But it really is important that people understand the type of integrity that you and the ladies have, your wife and your sister, and the integrity you guys have in bringing this stuff to us every week. My only problem with that is I wish you were on more. But, you know, the thing is that Red really, I think, hit a note for a lot of people in the last program. And, you know, the thing is that people are afraid to place ourselves in danger because whenever we place ourselves in danger, you know, and we stand up, we're going to be in danger in one degree or another when we stand up. But we place our kids and our grandkids in danger if we don't.
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to say, we're already in danger. People just don't realize it.
Well, I think the other side of the coin is, too, I mean, I was at the bank yesterday, you know, and the guy next to me was saying, yeah, you know, I don't know what's happened with silver and gold, and something must be happening to where we just can't get, you know, it's terrible. We can't get, it's worth more than what it's showing, and on and on. And I said, yeah, that's very true, and we got to chatting, but I think there's a lot of people, Mark, there's that other category of people who really don't know what to do. They really and truly do not know what to do.
I agree.
I think that's a category maybe that, because right now, you know, we preach to the choir a lot on a lot of the programs here because a lot of the folks are just nodding their head saying, yeah, I agree. But I think a lot of folks, even the ones that agree with everything that's being said on the programs, really don't know what direction to go in. I mean, you know, if you heard anything from last hour, you'll know that people have a lot of different ways they want to go. But the one thing we do know is we cannot solve our problems by using the same thinking we used when we created the problems.
That's correct.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the answers, here's the answers. The answer to our problems is liberty. The answer to our problems, morality. The answer to our problems is a revival of the American spirit and self-reliance, not depending on the government to take care of us from cradle to grave. The answer is to become Americans again, and rise up against this tyranny and do the right thing instead of do the thing that's best for you.
To go back what we started with. Yes. We need to go clear back to the founding fathers and start with that as our foundation. We have totally skipped over that for a while.
Oh, yeah. They're just a bunch of white slave owners that didn't care about anybody, that only set the most dynamic document up in the history of the world to free everyone at some point in time. It didn't discriminate against blacks or white. It said all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. I guess we just will gloss that over because somebody else wrote a better document. I don't know, Karl Marx or somebody, you know, that they gloss over the, you know, 160 million people that they killed under those regimes. And that's the kind of regime that we're marching towards. So I guess that's okay. But the founders who set up a document to free everybody is somehow the wrong way to go, right?
You know, and that's the thing. And you know, Mark, when you come onto a program and that sort of stuff, I mean, you and Linda are talking. I mean, you guys walk the walk. You know, I know you and you walk the walk. And I know that there's a lot of us out here. You know, you've helped us with a lot of different things in self-reliance. You know, what about this? What about that? Never been preparing, had it. had it really not been for that.
Well, that's the answer, is to start preparing, because I don't think that we can stop this now. My personal opinion is that it's 100% reality that this thing's going to crash. There's no, you know, they've been glossing over all of the facts. They've been lying to us about everything under the sun, and so this economy is going to implode. The question is, what do we get out of it? And the question is, are you ready for it? You know, that's the answer, and it's not an answer that everybody likes. Everybody wants a silver bullet that's going to solve all our problems, you know, but it doesn't exist. You know, we want to get the state of Jefferson in place to help solve those problems, but and I agree 100%. I'm 100% behind the state of Jefferson, but what's going to solve our problems is people quit depending on the government, start worrying about liberty and financial solvency so that we can implement that in the state of Jefferson. And that's what we need to do. That's the answer, but that's a hard answer, and it's a painful answer, and it's not an answer that a lot of people want to hear, because it means that there's going to be some hard work and there's going to be some pain.
Well, it's implementing the Constitution.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, the real bottom line is that Jefferson is going to implement the Constitution in the United States of America, and that's the deal. And so that's why it's been attractive to many other states. That's why it's been attractive to so many people, is because we're simply bringing it back to where it needs to be. There might be a couple of amendments in the Constitution that we probably should repeal, but I can only think of a couple of them. The rest of the Constitution is just fine. The thing is we don't adhere to it, and we don't follow it. And even locally, the things that have gone on are atrocious. Shasta County is amazing for its beauty. It's also amazing for the type of, in my opinion, corruption we have in all forms, whether it be the city council or whether it be the Board of Supervisors, with the exception of a couple of people. So really and truly, we do have to stand up. I mean, and it's time to do that. And I think Red hit the nail on the head today. I mean, at what point do you finally say you've had enough? At what point do you finally say, it's time? And I think a lot of people, again, I think maybe that might be something we might want to start gearing to a bit, is that I think people just are wanting to know what to do. I really think that we have a lot more than we did 5 years ago that are aware that we have these huge problems and want to do something about it. I think it's a matter of direction.
Well, I agree. And like I say, the first thing to do is get yourself put in this position to last through this crisis that's coming. Then after that is done, or at the same time you're doing that, get involved with your local Tea Party, with your local State of Jefferson guys, with your local media stations. Do something. Get up off the couch and do something. Quit having analysis paralysis. That's what a lot of people have. You know, they analyze things so much that they forget to get up off the couch. And
well,
so
I think the other thing is too, is a lot of people, you know, elect people. See, we elect people. And the city council is a good example. I mean, you know, for one thing, you got one guy, they spent like $90,000 to get him elected. When you have these folks that are elected, they do have a responsibility. See, that's the other thing, is that it isn't just people owning up to what they need to do. It's the people who get elected to owning up what they're going to do.
Well, I mean, it's like this clip we just saw, the last meeting with Brent Weaver. Not to pick on Brent Weaver in particular, because I don't have a dog in the hunt as far as anybody at the city council. I don't live in the city, so, you know, but at the same time, what I see is a guy who says that, oh, gee, you know, anybody that he talks about frivolous campaign promises and people not being held accountable for that, because, you know, that's just a campaign promise. And, you know, like, we're
that's
just
silly.
It's like, really? It's like, you know, so you just promise anything to anyone to get elected? What does that say about his integrity?
Right. But, with that, I think we need to go to a break, Terry. If you hang on, we'll come back and we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Wooden ships on the water, very free and easy. Easy, you know the way it's supposed to be. Silver on the shoreline, let us be. Talking about very free and easy.
The
thanks to citizens like you and your contributions to StandAndFightClubInc.com, January 30th and 31st, the first steps were taken to push back the California Air Resource Board and their regulations that are devastating the California economy. But now is not the time to give up the fight. Now is time to double down. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com and you keep the contributions going and we'll keep the punches coming.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Veterans discounts, e-cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew. Coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
The 67th Annual Reading Rodeo is happening May 13th through the 16th, and they would like to take a moment to thank their sponsors for making Rodeo Week possible. Reading Bank of Commerce, the California Highway Patrol, Cottonwood Vet Clinic, Crown Motors, Foothill Distributing, Pendleton Whiskey, Golden One Credit Union, Jack in the Box, KIXC-TV, KRCR 7 News, MD Imaging, the McConnell Foundation, Mercy Medical Center, Omega Mortgage, Reading Distributing, Coors, Shasta.com, Shasta Regional Medical Center, Sierra Central Credit Union, Sierra Pacific Foundation, Sierra Pacific Industries, Sportsman's Warehouse, Tri-Counties Bank, Wells Fargo Bank, Wrangler, Justin Boots, and the radio station you're listening to. Thank you for investing in our community. Buy your tickets now at ReadingRodeo.com or the Reading Rodeo box office.
Cleary's Restaurant has an important question.
Have you made your reservations for Mother's Day yet? Well, why not? We'll be open for Mother's Day serving brunch from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Chef Les has created a delicious menu, starting with a fresh fruit parfait and house-baked scones, followed by your choice of a plated brunch. Crab cakes, egg benedict, blackberry oatmeal pancakes, and house-made corned beef hash, just to mention a few. Are you drooling yet? We'll be open for dinner as well from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m.
Cleary's Restaurant at the corner of Eureka Way and Market Street in downtown Reading. Call 241-4535 for your Mother's Day reservations.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Fast pace down here at Sovereign Mind Radio.
We are working at
getting you news that nobody else will report, getting you facts that nobody else will talk about, getting you the stories that nobody wants to tell except us. So we got a couple of clips that we're piecing together here, and we want to talk about the Import Export Bank here a little bit in a little while. I don't know. We've got Bob queuing up that video soundbite from Brent Weaver. I don't know if he's there yet, but
do we want to finish up with Terry before the top of the hour?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, let's finish up with Terry, and then we'll go into this other stuff. Where were we at, Terry, before we were so rudely
interrupted? I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, the soundbite on the...
It'll be coming.
We're working on it. We've been...
Okay, yeah. Well, the thing is that, you know, when you stop and think about standing up, look at what Chris Ann Hall did with her letter to Trey Gowdy. I mean, that she put out all over Facebook and everything else. I mean, you know, when Gowdy says that House rules don't provide the authority to... to subpoena the server of Hillary Clinton. And, you know, she basically tells them, why don't House rules give the authority? Question mark. Because House rules are invented by politicians to create excuses for not following the Constitution. I mean, House rules, do the House rules trump the Constitution of the United States?
Well, you know, I'm so sick of these guys in Congress and the Senate. You know, first all the congressman could say is, well, we can't go after this guy because, you know, we don't have the Senate. Now we got the Senate. Oh, well, we can't go after this guy because some kind of rule or something or might not be politically expedient. This guy should be under impeachment. You know, oh, we can't go after him for that because we'd get Joe Biden. Well, impeach him, too. You know, what are you guys doing up there? You know, it's just a game of the...
Well, the thing about impeachment, I mean, their argument against impeachment was that they didn't have the majority. But,
right.
You know, that was their argument. Now, I agree with you, first off and foremost. I fully agree with you. The thing is that these guys, it's gone to such a corruption level, and I'm so discouraged even with the guys who say they're on our side. Really.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. That my point was not necessarily the impeachment process as much as I'm saying these guys have got excuses that they keep giving us about anything and everything of doing something. Okay.
Oh, they're going to cut us off. We're getting the top of the hour, guys, so... Hang on, we're going to pick this up at 5 minutes after the hour. This has been KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Tropical Storm Anna has rolled ashore near the border between the Carolinas.
We've already seen Anna weaken a little bit since moving inland, and we expect it to continue to weaken throughout the day. And, in fact, the forecast calls for Anna to become a tropical depression before the end of the day today.
David Zielinski of the National Hurricane Center. Officials warn of possible rip currents and coastal flooding. Snow will be the problem in the regions of Nebraska and South Dakota today, one of the latest snowfalls in that area in some years. Arrests have been made in the murder of two policemen in Hattiesburg, Mississippi last night during a traffic stop.
Agents of the Mississippi Bureau of Investigation have arrested three people and charged them in connection with the homicide of two Hattiesburg, Mississippi police officers.
That's Warren Strain of the Department of Public Safety. He says two of the people in custody are brothers, Curtis Martin and Marvin Banks. The third person has not been identified. One was driving the car. The Senate will take up a fast-track trade bill this week. SRN's Linda Kenyon has a preview.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the Senate's first vote on the trade legislation will be a procedural vote on Tuesday. The bill would block Congress from amending the trade pact that the administration is currently negotiating with 11 Pacific Rim countries. The bill has fragmented Republicans and Democrats alike. Alabama Republican Jeff Sessions, for instance, says he supported fast-track legislation in the past, but believes it's now time to be more careful with trade bills. And Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid has threatened to block the bill, while Senator Patty Murray, a member of the Democratic leadership team, supports it. Linda Kenyon, SRN News, Capitol Hill.
More suicide bombings around Baghdad today, killing dozens of people. This is SRN News.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
When our daughter Emma was born, we took a look at our credit card debt. It was not a good situation. We had been running up balances for quite some time, and it became a crisis. Finally, my wife Vicky said, call Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
We called them. They contacted all of our creditors. They stopped the collections calls. They got the interest reduced, and they put us on a plan for success.
Trinity will consolidate your bills, stop collections calls, wipe out late fees, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
We are now completely debt-free, and we will never be in the spot we were again, thanks to Trinity.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is John.
I'm Vicky.
And I'm Emma.
And we're debt-free for keeps.
That's 1-800-990-6976.
More avalanches have forced rescuers in a village buried by a landslide in northern Nepal to stop searching today for bodies in the aftermath of last month's devastating earthquake. So far, 120 bodies have been recovered from Langtang Valley, a scenic village on a popular trekking route north of Kathmandu. The recovery teams hope to return at some point. It's not clear when. The big quake that shook Nepal killed more than 8,000 people and injured more than 16,000 others, flattening a number of mountain villages. An Afghan judge is postponing issuing verdicts today for the 19 police officers charged over the mob killing of a woman in Kabul. The judge says more time is needed to complete the investigation into the officers who were charged with failing to prevent the March 19th attack. He didn't say when the verdicts would come out. Of the 49 defendants charged over the slaying, 4 have been sentenced to death and 8 to 16 years in prison, 18 others set free for lack of evidence. This is SRN News. Lawmakers in energy-producing states across the country are scrambling to stop local communities from placing limits on oil and gas drilling.
The recent slump in oil prices that has led to job losses in the oil patch has only added to the urgency of squelching local drilling bans and other restrictions the industry views as onerous. The number of jobs nationwide in the sector that includes energy production has fallen 3.5% since December, and Texas alone lost about 25,000 jobs in March.
Rich Thomason reporting. Today is Sunday, May the 10th. It's the 130th day of 2015. There are 235 days left in the year. This is Mother's Day. On this date in history, 1869, a golden spike was driven in Promontory, Utah, marking the completion of the first transcontinental railroad in the U.S. More details on these and other stories at srnnews.com.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am American. That's what I am.
Yeah, I am American. That's what I am. And this ain't America, it's America. So, with that, we're back. What do we got going there? Anyway, we got all kinds of stuff we've been talking about. Do we have that Brent Weaver queued up at all, Bob?
Yes, we do.
All right. Let's listen to Brent Weaver talk about what he thinks about us voters and so forth. Go ahead, Bob. Play it.
Nobody that I heard during the campaign that said, we will go along because that's how you build collaboration. No, we're going to be based on principle. I would never expect any of my other peers up here to vote against their conscience or what they believe to try to fulfill some silly, shallow campaign promise of that's how you build support. No, you build support by treating people with respect and hopefully holding them to the same accountability that you hold yourself, which is you will vote on principle, you will educate yourself, and make the best decision for the people you think you're representing.
So you shouldn't be held accountable to some silly campaign promise that you made. But you should show respect to the other city councilmen. And You know, but wait a minute.
What about to the people?
What about to the people that you made the stupid, silly campaign promise to?
That got you into office.
That got you elected. I think a recall should go out on this guy myself. I think that this guy is just absolutely, you know, he's not even smart. As far as I'm concerned. So, anyway, that's my opinion.
Well, here you go. You get somebody that seems to think they're above the law or above the people that they can do this.
What it is I can tell them anything they want to hear as long as I get elected. And after that, hey, here's the big, giant middle finger to anybody who questions
Typical
me.
Politicky.
Yeah, and every once in a while he has to put some of those people that elected him into a corner because they're like bad children. You know, this guy, he just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, he needs to do more than go to the corner and have time out, in my opinion.
So, anyway, did you get that, Terry?
I did, but, you know, that runs right along with the comment he made on Carl Bott's show. And everybody was kind of flabbergasted that he made it. He said, well, you know, the reason we have public comment at the end, basically, this is paraphrased, but it's basically what he said. The reason we have a public comment at the end is because, you know, my kids even need a timeout once in a while. Okay, so in other words, what you're saying, Dad, is the people of Reading who elected you, who you work for, now need a timeout, and therefore you're going to punish them, put them in the corner till the end of the session.
So you're going to lie to them.
The insanity of all this, to me, it's the type of thing we have so many distractions, and Reading's a great place to live if you want things to do. We have the rodeo, we have this, we have that, we have all the different things that we have all different types of things going on every weekend, every night, every day, just about, and that's good. And those are some of the things that we're fighting for our liberty, is to have family gatherings and things like that. But when those things become a distraction, when those things come to the forefront over and above everything, including the law and everything, including people's rights, everything, including integrity of the people we elect, to them breaking the law, it's just absolutely insane that we let all this rainbow and lollipops thing go like this. Not to say those things aren't good for the community, I'm talking about the rodeo, et cetera, but when we have those come to the forefront, when we have more pressing issues, maybe it's a priority thing with all of us.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. So, I don't know, maybe we need to play Toby Keith, Who's Your Daddy again, and Rainbows and Lollipops. But, you know, it's just insane. So, you know, you're totally right, Terry. But let's talk about a couple other headlines here and move on. I've got a couple of things here, fuel for the fire, so to speak. One here is a headline from the College Fix. University approves history class that doesn't mention both world wars.
Imagine that.
Yeah, this is Sacramento State University. You know, we'll now have an anthropology class course to fulfill the school's general education history requirements, and a decision that has prompted fierce debate there with history scholars noting it is effectively allows students to take a history class that doesn't even mention either World War, among other important topics. I mean, this is part of the problem that we're talking about. You know, the school, when they come out of the colleges, they're dumber than boards, about half of them. They don't understand history. They don't understand the founding of our country. You know, they just, anything that's about Americanism or our culture or our exceptionalism is just thrown to the wayside because we're somehow evil people that rule over the rest of the world. Well, you know, the reason that we have had so many problems worldwide in the last 40 years is because we started intervening in everything instead of minding our own business and being a free country. I mean, that's the deal. So, that's one headline. Okay.
Yeah, well, on Monday, May the 18th, at the Reading Tea Party, we have Orlene Curley coming in, and she's going to come in and discuss Common Core. That's a little far below the universities, but it's the way that these kids get there.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The standards are just insane. I mean, and now she's going to talk a lot about how Islam is now involved with the Common Core curriculum and part of it. I mean, folks, really? I mean,
I know.
You know.
Well, we saw that with James O'Keefe's film clip, how he went into the university. I forget which one it was, and they were all open arms about you know, go ahead, teach Islam. It's like having a football team. It's like training.
It's like,
we can even give you money for it.
You know, they don't care that that the perception of Islam hasn't been very good lately. And, you know, part of the Islamic religion, I mean, look at ISIS. These guys are butchers. And look at the rest of the Muslims, you know. It's not good. I mean, I'm not saying they're all not, violent. But I'll tell you what, there's a huge population that, it's got some real issues with us being free.
Yeah, the whole thing is bottom line is people care about me. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, we don't, it's like probably the biggest argument we get in Jefferson, one of the big things is always, well, gee, what happens to my stuff? What happens what happens to me? What happens to my retirement? What happens here? What happens to me? What happens to all my stuff? We won't get stuff. I mean, poor people won't get stuff. Nobody will get their stuff. What about the kids? What about your children? What about their stuff? They're going to be so far in debt and so far over their heads in servitude.
They're not going to have no stuff.
You know, the real deal is at the end of the day, nobody's going to have any stuff the way we're going, Terry.
Everybody's
going to lose. Yeah. So we got a caller on the line, Billy Bob. Good morning, Billy. How you doing?
Hey, good. I don't want to interrupt you guys. It's a great conversation. But, Terry, appreciate everything you do and your perspective on all this. And, again, Red's show this morning was great. And without saying much, Mark, your show is fantastic. But the thing is that we hear about it, and Terry mentioned it, and Red, when are we going to draw the line? And this is, again, my big question. And so I've got some things to think about. I mean, everybody that's corrupt in the United States government, state, federal, local, all these city council people and board of supervisors, not one board of supervisors has held a town hall meeting. Bob, Kehoe, none of them. They're resilient. They sit in their big fancy homes. They don't care. Same thing with the city council. And then we start there and we work our way to Sacramento. We throw the bums out.
Yeah.
And the way we do this is the American people, again, with your provocation, we have to stand up. Okay, here's what we do. We get a petition together. This might be outside the box, but we got to turn this country around, and it's going to take some drastic moves. What we do is we throw every Muslim out of the United States. There's only 26 million of them. We don't like them. They're vicious. They've already proven and flown their true colors. Get rid of them. And then we throw all the illegal Mexicans out. They're illegals. And we don't, we are a land of laws, and throw them out. And let's clean up this country and get started on the right way. And then as far as all the corruption in Washington, D.C., throw them all out. Get rid of them. So anyway, I'll let you guys go back at it.
Thanks for that comment, Billy Bob.
maybe he's very much on the right track you know?
Maybe you can call back later and tell us how he really feels.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah. I think he's right. I think, we got to quit mamby-pambying this stuff. We got to quit listening to the soft-pedal, liberal media, line of, what do they call it, the narrative. You know, they have a narrative, that we have to follow, and they all do it. So I don't know.
But like you said, step outside the box. We have to retrain our own thinking about how to go about getting the right people into office. I mean, we got Board of Supervisors election coming up in 2016. We should be, all into that, trying to figure out the right people to get in there.
Well, and here's another headline from The Intercept. Congress tells court that Congress can't be investigated for insider trading. This is what we're talking about. Okay, so the members of Congress in 2012 patted themselves on the back for passing the Stock Act, a bill meant to curb inside trading for lawmakers and their staff. We all know that Washington is broken, and today both members of both parties took a big step to fix it. But then the Securities and Exchange Commission made news with the first major investigation of political insider trading. Congress moved to block the inquiry.
Imagine that.
Now, one other thing I want to say about you, Mark, is that in knowing you for quite a while now, when you do research on something, I know you've told me a lot of times, man, I do not say something until I've qualified it. So, folks, I want you guys to know that when these programs come out, these folks are not just pulling stuff out of their you-know-what. Basically, Mark does enormous amounts of study. I can tell you, I've talked to him sometimes when he has been up all night researching one particular thing to make sure he had it right. So when you hear stuff on these programs, you're hearing the truth.
Well, and if we make a mistake, we'll retract it.
Yeah. While we're on that line, did you see where the Obama administration is keeping the Congress quiet on the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement?
Yeah, we're going to go more into that.
We talked about it last week. Yeah, since we're on that, it's like, really? So he gave him a gag order on that. So we'll take it up later. So.
Yeah, well, that's a good thought. Well, let's work on that next week. But first, I got a video queued up here from we wanted to cover the import-export bank or the export-import bank a little bit. And so there's a video here. It's about a minute and a half or so. And we want to get that queued up and talk about this because this is also a part of what we're talking about. Because what's happening is across the stage, you've got the big bankers and the government officials and the crony capitalism, they what they do is if there's any profits made in any of these things, they keep the profit. If there's any losses, they make the public and the American people responsible to cover the losses. So let's go ahead and play it, Bob, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss this a little bit.
There's a big storm brewing on Capitol Hill right now over a government agency you've probably never heard of. We're talking about the Export-Import Bank, otherwise known as EXIM. And no, not EXIM Radio. The Export-Import Bank provides taxpayer-backed loans and loan guarantees to foreign countries and companies for the purchase of U.S. products. Countries like China, the United Arab Emirates, and Brazil benefit from the bank. The bank was created in 1934, but after 81 years of existence, there's a chance its charter won't be reauthorized when it expires in June. And for that to happen, Congress doesn't have to do anything at all. But it's not quite that simple. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill who support the bank argue EXIM creates jobs in the U.S. and helps small businesses compete in the global market. But the Government Accountability Office has raised doubts about those job creation claims, leading policymakers who oppose the agency to argue it's an engine of corporate welfare and cronyism. EXIM's biggest beneficiaries are companies like Boeing, Caterpillar, and General Electric. And the agency has even earned the nickname the Bank of Boeing. EXIM officials argue that 90% of total transactions made by the bank support small businesses. But small businesses actually receive less than 20% of EXIM subsidies in dollars. There are less than 70 days until EXIM's charter expires. And as the clock winds down, the debate on the bank's future will only get louder.
Okay, I think we need to go to a break, and then when we get back, we'll discuss that one. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is Community Radio for the North State.
I pulled into Nazareth, was feeling about half past dead. I just need some place where I can lay my head. Hey, mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed? He just grinned and shook my hand. No was all he said. Take a load off, Fanny. Take a load for free. Take a load off, Fanny. Put the load right the load on right me. On me.
Using junk science that wouldn't even meet the standards of a high school science fair, California Air Resources Board and the Environmental Protection Agency have written regulations that are devastating the California economy. They are costing people their jobs, their homes, their livelihoods, and their families. This must be stopped. Help us continue the fight against CARB. Go to standandfightclubinc.com now and contribute to keep the fight going.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym.
my gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-988-4477. That's 800-988-4477. Call 800-988-4477 today.
It's the 2015 Wrangler PRCA Pro Rodeo Champions Challenge presented by Justin Boots. Come join us for the 67th Annual Reading Rodeo, May 13th through the 16th. The showdown starts with the Wrangler PRCA Million Dollar Silver Tour, followed by the Champions Challenge. You're not going to want to miss this year's specialty act, Cowboy Kenny's Steel Rodeo, a seven-time world champion motocross rider. So dust off those boots, pull on that hat, and grab your Reading Rodeo tickets at the Reading Rodeo box office or at readingrodeo.com.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Howdy folks, Nate Abarea here. Join me every Sunday at 2 p.m. for Destination North State. Each hour-long show will be direct from special spots in the heart of Northern California, featuring the people and the places that make this region so unique. You'll hear the beautiful and the gritty sides of the North State that we call our own. Made possible by Muse Concrete, Palomar Builders, and Yaks on the Five in Dunsmuir. It's Destination North State, every Sunday at 2 p.m., right here on KCNR 1460.
KCNR 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Radio. Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, we need to find some hearts of gold out there to maybe run for office because, man, I mean, unbelievable stuff.
So, how would we have known back then that how true those words are?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So let's get back to this import-export bank deplacing private finance. I wonder where our local congressman stands on that. Just a, you know, a little poser there. Haven't heard a word about it. So, you know, we got, you know, this import-export, they call it the Ex-Im Bank, you know, as a competitor. You know, to the, you know, and as, you know, Michael Kramer, who's writing the story I'm looking at, it's by, Timothy P. Carney's writing the story, and he's talking about Michael Kramer as a banker of the American International Group. That's AGI. That name sound familiar to anybody? AGI? Yeah.
The one that's all over everything else?
Yeah,
the problem?
One that was kind of like involved in that whole big calamity back in 08, 09. They call the debt or the, financial worldwide global implosion crisis thing.
Yeah.
Just saying, you
with
know,
JP Morgan.
Yeah, with all of these guys, you know, I mean, so, you
my
know.
My question is, it said it had 70 days for the charter
to expire. And then, who
oversees this one?
Yeah, maybe we need to find out who's going to reinstate the charter up there. I mean, pretty sure it'll be the same cast of usual suspects, but this thing is a part of the problem, just like, you know, all these banking chicanery tricks. you know, the hooligans that are running the show, you know, basically the mob. You know, you got Jamie Dimon, you know, just hand over your money, you know, because everybody will be happy. You know what I'm saying? Forget about it. You know, that's what we got. That's who's running the show here. You know, I mean, these guys are, you know, right out of the mob. I mean, everybody pays. You know, these guys get free money, you know, no competition, the cronies. I mean, they talked about, you know, GE being involved. We got AGI or AIG, AGI.
Adjusted gross income. Well, it could be in there too. You know, that's the feds, but
I'm
you know.
I'm a tax guy. What can I say? You know. I'm an anti-tax guy. So with all of this stuff, you know, the private sector always seems to be the one that takes it in the shorts. And that's what we're talking about. If they make money, you know, they keep the profits. And if they lose money, they make
the taxpayer
responsible. And so, you know, and, you know, Goldman Sachs is, you know, announcing the, you know, Boeing, you know, and Goldman, you know, is involved in a small, you know, there's a little thing here. It says it would only require a small step up from each of the many other sources of financing to fill the gap of the XIM, you know, and it's like you can't make this stuff up, you know.
Do you think that our congressman has a position on this? And here's why I make the comment on that.
I doubt it.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, maybe it, you know, in fairness to him, and in fairness to us. Maybe we should start finding out where he stands on some of these issues that really make a difference.
That's kind of why I'm bringing it up, Terry.
Yeah, and you're right. And I'm totally in agreement with you. I'm glad you brought it up. I'd like to know where he stands. What I do know is the Heritage Foundation gave him a 67% rating.
It actually went
up. And McClintock got a 90% rating. I think a 67 is a D. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, really what's going on here.
I think that his rating actually went up on the last one I looked at. It was up, getting up towards 80%.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
So that's getting better. And, I mean, we don't want to throw our heroes under the bus. But at the same time, you know, if they're great on all these issues like the Veterans Administration and all these great issues, you know, standing up for the water rights in Northern California, you know, they're for the state of Jefferson. But they stab you in the back on huge issues like the economy imploding with the central bankers or the import-export bank, you know, that's my big problem with these guys is, and I'm not saying that that's what he's doing here. I'm just saying that in the past, you know, they don't even want to talk about these financial things. And, you know, we talked about with Wally Herger about the implosion of the finances. And, you know, I said, gee, a private bank issuing the currency, you know, that's kind of a problem. Why would we charge ourselves interest? And, you know, his answer is, well, yeah, that's kind of a problem. And then he just glosses over it and moves on. Yep. And you're like thinking, you know, what's going on? And then he retires from office. He's rich. You know, you go.
Well, here's the thing. There isn't any of them that I know of, maybe you know of, well, besides Ron Paul, maybe. But is there any of them that are really openly standing up?
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, you look at
who are they?
Well, Rand Paul has stood up against the bank. You know, you've got Justin Amash, Mike Lee.
Good.
There's some out there, you know, but they're few and far between.
Okay, well, it's good to know we have some.
Yeah, it's good to know we have some. And what's happening too is the tide is turning. You know, the American people are starting to say, "Hey, you know what's going on." But you've got so many things happening right now, it's hard to even focus on one. I mean, this whole Hillary scandal, you know. Gee, here's my theory. My theory is that Obama never did like Hillary. And all of a sudden, you know, this is payback time. Because, you know, where's all these attacks coming from? We got this one guy that writes the book. You know, is there going to be an FBI investigation? I don't know. I'm just kind of surmising here. But, you know, these guys were untouchable. And then all of a sudden now all this stuff just keeps coming out more and more and more. And is that treason or not? So
well, I just got word that there are 40 members of the House on the Freedom Caucus that are standing up.
Well, there you go. You know, so it's, but it's not enough.
And, no, it's not, but it's not, my friend.
Yeah, it's not enough. And what needs to happen is that, you know, everybody wants to handle our guys with kid gloves. And I'm telling you, the answer is exactly the opposite of that. If you're not standing up against the big boys that are killing us, and you're using all these other little issues that are making everybody feel good about them, but you will ignore, not acknowledge, and not commit to one side or the other on a big issue like, good grief, should we have a private central bank issuing our currency and putting us in debt slave servitude to our children and our grandchildren for the next 200 years? I guess, we give him a pass on everything. You know, we'll just give him a pass on that one, right? Because he's going and helping the veterans.
Well, it trickles down again. You know, the things that we really can affect here is what we do locally. I mean, that's
right.
The things
yep.
we can really affect. I mean, there's so many things that are happening everywhere else that, yeah, we need to fight that battle. That's,
sure.
No question about it. Be aware of it. But locally, a good example of what you're saying at the city council meeting last week is, they're getting rid of the association downtown. They're axing the whole thing. And one of the people that spoke on behalf of the downtown association gets up there and says, "Thank you for allowing me to speak." Now, she says, "Thank you for allowing me to speak to city council." Now, that's in her defense, that's respectful because she's probably a kind, loving person.
Sure.
But we're thanking our employees for allowing us our constitutional rights. No, folks, you don't go up there and say, "Thank you for allowing me," or "We need your approval," or "Thank you so much for letting me talk." No, it's your right to talk. They work for you, and that's where we've gotten the whole thing skewed.
It's all backwards.
Yes.
It reminds me of those progressive insurance commercials where, you know, the gal's up there, "Listen, you know, I'm going to save you all this money on these this insurance," and you got the lady up there, and she goes, "Kill her." You know, I mean, that's what you feel like going in front of the city council is that, you know, they're imperialists that tell us what to do and not the opposite. And that does have to change. And when I was using our congressman example, I'm not saying that we can affect the change there as much as I'm saying you don't keep giving them a pass. You got to keep talking about it and getting it out there, just like at the local level. You got to keep talking and getting it out there. You can't just all have these guys go, "Oh, go away. You're the little people," you know, and that's what a lot of people are doing. I mean,
it's almost like high school. You know, you have a situation where, you know, we don't want to rock the boat a little bit here. Almost like an in-crowd issue. That's what cracks me up about Shasta County. When you have a situation where people are having every right, again, as Red has said, and rightly so, who haven't the City Council of Reading alienated? I mean, they've united all kinds of people that had a difference in all kinds of different issues against one common obstruction of their liberty, and that's the Reading City Council, with the exception of Gary Cadd. Now, the thing is, most people are worried about theirs. It's sort of like, "Oh, you know, we're going to fight them. We're going to take them on. We're going to do this. We're going to do that." And procedurally, they really don't know what they're doing. They to have a situation where, and I loved it when Missy MacArthur said, "Well, gosh, if you guys think you have something here," talking to Walt McNeil, "if you really think you have a case here, you need to take it to the DA." That was about the closed door meeting that they had. And in that closed door meeting, the Brown Act, according to Mr. McNeil, was violated. And he has someone there who there is a whistleblower somewhere there. Point is that, you know, Missy, who wasn't in that room, we'll take it to the DA. I mean, she's in the catbird seat. She has no skin in the game. So she may end up being the only one left.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like I say,
eating their own. I don't know.
I hope so. That's the trick to dealing with these government guys is have them start eating each other. And that's what we need to do is they start attacking each other because it's all about power. It's all about them. And I think McNeil is supposed to be taking that to the DA. My fear is that, you know, is he one of the good old boys too? Is he a part of the city club? I don't know.
Well, it is going to the Supreme Court. The other issue, which is the pilot program. But right. I think the interesting part about this is when Brent Weaver, and this is also on the tape, when Brent Weaver called Mr. McNeil back up to talk to him, he was more concerned about the fact that, so, you know, who was the whistleblower here? I need to know, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, not about whether the law was broken, but, you know, after all, who was in there who said that?
I mean,
where did you get this information from?
Yeah, you're back to...
I mean, wow.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, come on, folks.
You're back to kill him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just... you really can't make this stuff up. And in working with all these different counties and being in front of different boards of supervisors, and I'm not saying that other counties don't have problems, but I mean, you know, you talk about a liberal board of supervisors, Del Norte certainly won, but at least you knew where you stood. You know, in this town, it's amazing. I mean, everything from, well, what we tell you when we get elected isn't what we're going to do. Les Baugh, another one in question, when he talked about how he wanted the state of Jefferson to go to the ballot. Well, he never even gave Jefferson a chance to have a presentation. And then, of course, said he'd give us a presentation. Then, oh, I never said that. So when you have all these different issues with these folks that are elected by us, you know, really and truly, Billy Bob might have the, you know, he maybe recall for these folks is what we do.
I think so.
I think so, because I'll tell you what they're doing is so obvious to me, is that in this county, you can't run as a liberal and probably get elected very easily. So what you do, if you're a liberal, is you run as a conservative. You tell everybody you're a conservative. You make all these campaign promises that don't mean anything. And then when you get there, you do whatever you want, because they're not following or looking at what you're doing. And that's starting to change. But, you know, 5 years ago, would we even see this comment or know about this comment from Brett Weaver?
No, because we weren't involved 5 years ago to know and spread the word about what is actually going on.
And that's
City Council.
The point. That's how you hold these guys accountable, is that has to start becoming mainstream in the county, that, gee, here's Brent Weaver saying, oh, those silly campaign promises, you know, they mean nothing, you know. I mean, it's ridiculous. But that's what – they're being held accountable because people are starting to watch them and not keeping their mouth shut, which is the secret to controlling these guys. We just need more people doing it.
Well, I think right now we have a lot of people doing it. It's just a matter of – you know, as we were talking about before, the Tea Party is a good example, and you brought this up before. This is a great example. You know, we have Orlean Curley coming for Common Core at the Tea Party on May the 18th. Now, Orlean is, if not the major spokesman for Common Core, she is in the top five. Lydia Gutierrez, who is also a major spokesman, is also in the top five. They're both not only friends, but personal friends. Fact is, if they come into town, they stay with Sal and I to save them motel money and that sort of stuff, because they speak for free. Now, the deal is that we were told by Common Core people at one point that, well, Common Core wants to be separated from the Tea Party. Well, how does that work?
Yeah.
How does that work when the people who are the lead people of Common Core can't wait to talk at a Tea Party? I think there's just so much confusion.
Well, we've been, you know, the Tea Party has been malaligned. You know, we've been, you know, the brand has been soiled because of all of the media attacks, all of the media slanders and slants, and, you know, the Republican rhinos doing their best to unwind the Tea Party. They've done everything in their power to effectually shut down the Tea Party, whether it's to the IRS, because we're a threat to them. And that's why these people don't want to say they're associated with the Tea Party, even though everything they espouse is Tea Party principles, because the brand has been soiled. And that's the problem. But people have to get over that sooner or later. And we don't really care whether they say it's the Tea Party or it's Common Core. You know, the real deal is everybody needs to unite behind these principles, not necessarily an organization, and say, hey, we're not going to take it anymore, and enough's enough.
Well, I want both your comments on this. You know, when you have elected officials that start talking about, you know, congressmen, senators, state senators, that start talking about, well, you know, we've got to do something about these people in, whether it be Sacramento or in Congress, that are spending all this money. We've got to do something about this overreaching government. Well, okay, aren't you part of that?
Yeah, aren't you supposed to be doing that?
Explain to the folks how all that works.
Yeah, I
well,
know.
Well, again, they're passing it off onto us, you know. They should be the ones that are doing it, but they're not, and we're not holding them accountable to do it.
Well, we're starting to hold them accountable through media. And that's been our biggest problem. It used to be we had enough media, and we're starting to get more and more of it now. But, you know, a lot of the stuff has been not reported, and the watchdogs are lapdogs. And so, you know, a lot of people don't see it. They're starting to, but I still think we're back to the pain train. In order for this to fix itself, people have to get mad. And Gerald Celente says it really well. He says, when people lose everything, they lose it. And I'm afraid that that's where we're headed, is that people are going to end up losing pretty much everything before they wake up to the fact that this is a problem and they need to be involved with their government in order to stay free.
So what would you recommend? Maybe, I don't know, maybe three or four things that you would recommend that people do to stand up who maybe need some direction. What would you recommend to someone maybe who's new here in this, or somebody who is really starting to get what's going on? What is it they can do other than just be, bang their head up against a wall? What can they do?
Other than, getting themselves in a position to be self-reliant and store and stack and all of the survival and prep stuff, get involved locally with the Tea Party. If you don't like the Tea Party, get involved locally with the state of Jefferson. Get involved with Common Core. Get involved with going against CARB. Get involved with something. And I recommend the Tea Party for most people in a lot of ways, just to get educated, get around people of like mind, whatever your issue is, regardless of whether it's conservative or liberal, because a lot of the liberals that stand for things that we don't like also stand for liberty. And so, I think we can all agree upon those kind of things. That's why I like the state of Jefferson, is that the message is liberty. It's not these social issues. It's not whether you like marijuana or not. It's not whether you're against abortion or not. It's, are you for liberty? Are you for liberty, freedom with morality, so that we can all live together, in some harmony and have production that makes our lifestyles go up and makes our overall, standard of living get higher for everyone. And that's the answer. It really is. Get involved. Get involved.
Yeah, I would like to add to that. Get involved. Do your education on your local politics, on your city council people, your board of supervisors.
Show up.
Yeah, find out who is in the wings to maybe possibly be a candidate in future elections, so you can start getting the correct people in there to change things at a local level.
Yeah.
But you have to do your own homework and education, and they can do that even if they don't know anybody in the city or the county. I mean, there's a lot of information that they can get on the internet, but start doing the research so you know who the person is that we want to get in there.
Start teaching your kids about liberty. Get this series through Chris Ann Hall. We got to look at this fight as not a 5-year or a 1-year or a 2-year or a 10-year. We got to look at this fight as a lifetime commitment to freedom. You know, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance, and that is the issue. And that is the answer, is that we've got to look long term on this to the point of fixing it long term. So, all the above, pick your poison, pick what you think you're going to be the best at.
Yeah, look at the city council now. This should be an eye-opener for all the people in Chester County, in the city of Reading, of what happened with this last election with Brent Weaver and them, how this happened.
Yep.
Now you should be on board. Do your education so when the next election comes around, you don't have to worry about who's going into office.
I think we're going to go to a break here. And what I want to do after the break is I want to read a little short story for everybody, and then we can take some comments to the end of the
show. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is Community Radio for the North State.
I don't know what to do.
Thanks to citizens like you and your contributions to StandAndFightClubInc.com, January 30th and 31st, the first steps were taken to push back the California Air Resource Board and their regulations that are devastating the California economy. But now is not the time to give up the fight. Now is time to double down. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com and you keep the contributions going and we'll keep the punches coming.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234. Cleary's Restaurant has an important question.
Have you made your reservations for Mother's Day yet? Well, why not? We'll be open for Mother's Day serving brunch from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Chef Les has created a delicious menu, starting with a fresh fruit parfait and house-baked scones, followed by your choice of a plated brunch. Crab cakes egg benedict, blackberry oatmeal pancakes, and house-made corned beef hash, just to mention a few. Are you drooling yet? We'll be open for dinner as well from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m.
Cleary's Restaurant at the corner of Eureka Way and Market Street in downtown Reading. Call 241-4535 for your Mother's Day reservations.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I'd like to build the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to hold it in my arms and keep it company. I'd like to
I'm getting thirsty. I need a Coke. I haven't heard that one for a while. Yeah, I'd like to live in harmony, too. Here's my...
Yeah, wouldn't we all?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's not in the near future.
Yeah, let's tell that to the Muslims. Hey, we just want to be left alone. No, follow Sharia law or we cut your head off. It's kind of hard to live with those guys. You know, it's a pretty rough sell when they say, if you don't do everything we tell you to do, you know, you're an infidel and we kill you. I mean, they don't make really good neighbors. Anyway, so with that, let's talk about...
I'll kill you.
Let's talk about Boris and Svetlana that were simple farmers in the old Soviet Union era. They grew grapes on a Russian bountiful Caspian coast, dried them in the sun, and sold raisins according to the quotas set by the committee. Every year, the Soviet Union's Raisin Administration Committee, that's the RAC, would regulate production, often ordering farmers to destroy upwards of 40% of their crop in order to achieve some sort of bizarre contrived equilibrium. This adherence to the religion of central planning in the Soviet Union was so severe that even after the wall fell, they couldn't quite manage to divorce themselves from it. In his book, The Company of Strangers, British economist Paul Seabright recounts hilarious conversations he had just a few weeks after the breakup of the Soviet Union. Seabright was speaking to the former director of bread production in St. Petersburg, who said, "Please understand that we are keen to move towards a market system, but we need to understand the fundamental details of how such a system works. Tell me, for example, who is in charge of the supply of bread to the population of London?" Seabright explained, of course, that no one is in charge of such things. "In the West, we don't have centrally planned committees to regulate the supply of bread, raisins, milk, etc. One would think, but guess again, comrades, because Boris and Svetlana are actually Marvin and Laura Horn of Kerman, California. And yes, the Raisin Administration Committee really, truly does exist in the land of the free. I am not making this up. This happens year after year. The RAC bureaucrats centrally plan precisely how many raisins will be sold into the market. All raisins exceeding the quota are confiscated and stockpiled by the RAC, which in some years has amounted to as much as 47% of the U.S. raisin production." Amazing. Aside from this unconscionable conclusion that this constitutes outright theft, it also means that American consumers are paying more for groceries than they should be. Naturally, raisins aren't the only crops targeted by the bureaucrats. There's the Potato Administration Committee, the Citrus Administration Committee, and oodles of other New Deal-era committees to set food prices quotas. Marvin and Laura Horn really did take a stand. About a decade ago, they bucked their quota and took a bold step of selling all their raisins that they had grown. And they really have been punished severely for it. The U.S. Department of Agriculture assessed a $695,226.92 fine against the Horns for not counting penalties, interest, and legal fees. The Horns took the matter to court, and believe it or not, this case has actually reached the Supreme Court. But even at the pantheon of American justice, the issue is still hotly contested. It's incredible that even the nation's most enlightened legal scholars cannot unanimously see the absurdity and the unconstitutionality of the system. But it only serves as a further proof of how far things have fallen in the land of the free. Congress is there to create the most absurd, destructive, and invasive tax laws imaginable. Executive agencies are standing by to cram them down your throat at gunpoint, and the courts can't even recognize when theft is theft. Under such a heavy yoke, I would respectfully submit to the Horns that there are a lot of places in the world to grow raisins, or run a business, raise your children in a way that you want, choose what you can or cannot put in your body, or just about anything, and to do so with much more freedom and comfort, and never again to having to worry about Big Brother, the national debt, or the next destructive regulation to come your way. Now, he's advocating moving to Chile. I'm saying let's start a new state.
Right, and why should you even be dealing with that? Why should they even in this country be dealing with something along
that's
that line?
That's yeah, the point, you know, of it. Anybody who's against the state of Jefferson is for this.
You know, I think the word platform is a word that maybe we can hash around a little bit here. Platform. You know, you mentioned right off the get-go about the Communist Party. The Communist Party got there because they had a platform, a place they could go to speak. Then they took away the platform, so the people had no place to speak. At this particular time, the Tea Parties give a platform. In the state of Jefferson, we have five counties that do not have Tea Parties. They create their own platform. It's a little more difficult. They're doing a lot more town halls, because there is no platform. What the Redding Tea Party gives the people of Shasta County is a platform to learn about Common Core, yes, to learn about CARB, right, to learn about survival and preparedness, to learn about the candidates, to learn about the different issues. It's simply a platform, and I think that people need to understand maybe that's a rebranding of what the Tea Party is. But it creates a platform as part of that meeting on Monday nights for people to get not only engaged in, but educated on what's going on in their own community. And as Pastor Richard James said, how come everybody in this town isn't at the Tea Party every Monday night? When you have an issue like Common Core, shouldn't people, whether you're for it or against it, want to learn about it? I mean, that's the bottom line here. And I think this thing about alienating the Tea Party, I know when we did Support Rural America with the sheriffs, a lot of the platform to introduce that was with different Tea Parties in counties, because the Tea Parties allowed a platform to get the word out, because as you say, Mark, and you're right, the mainstream media does not. And in a lot of cases, even local media does not. So maybe we should call it the Platform Party.
Well, maybe. You know, the Step Up Party, there's a lot of things we could call it, but the real deal is that we need people to step up and get involved at whatever level they are comfortable in or uncomfortable in, because we need people to get involved in the process, period. Whether it's the Tea Party has been here for a long time, 5 years now and counting, and we've survived a lot of problems, and we're not going away anytime soon, because the people that are there and helping get this thing, organized are committed patriots who are committed to freedom, are committed to family, and committed to the American spirit, and getting the message of liberty out to people that's the answer. And that's why we fail right now, is because we don't have liberty anymore.
Works without faith is death. And education without action is death. Education without any action on what you're educated on is death. You don't go to a math class to learn math and then don't do a math problem.
Yep.
That's been the problem, is people getting into action.
Yep.
Yep.
And we're down to the last few seconds of the program once again.
I'd like to thank Terry
for calling in. Thank you for calling in, and have a great conversation.
And remember, like I say every week, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties.
And go to Monday Night Tea Party tomorrow night, 6 p.m. There's a lot of good things that's going to be happening, showing you how to do what you need to do to change things locally.
And the water rally up there at the dam, 10:30 tomorrow.
Yes. And this has been KCNR 1460, home of the community radio.
Stay tuned for All In here at KCNR, Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Tropical Storm Anna has come ashore near the border between the two Carolinas and is swiftly losing strength at this hour. That does not mean the beaches are safe, though.
Anytime you have strong onshore flow, it certainly increases the risk for rip currents. So we would encourage people generally to stay out of the water, listen to your local authorities when it comes to the beaches.
David Zielinski of the National Hurricane Center. Meanwhile, thunderstorms and severe weather have forced significant delays and cancellations at both Dallas-Fort Worth International and Love Field. More than 100 flights at both airports canceled so far today. Two Hattiesburg, Mississippi police officers shot dead last night during a traffic stop. This morning, arrests have been made.
Two people have been charged with two counts of capital murder. One person has been charged with accessory after the fact of capital murder.